Hello there. This is the second segment of the show called Participatory Economics. I'm asking some interesting questions of David Callahan in this segment. He's a research director and senior fellow at DEMOS, whose purpose is to help build a society where America can achieve its highest democratic ideals. Let me send you into the commercial with a quotation. This is by Herman E. Daly, D-A-L-Y. Now that the United States and the rest of humanity have begun to confront the natural limits to our resources, we are in need of a new vision, a vision of a sustainable economy. Stay tuned for the commercial, and I'll be back with you just a few on values and ethics from Living Room to Boardroom on World Talk Radio.
It's that little line between your date of birth and date of death that represents your life. Are you living your life by design or by default? Are you as effective as you'd like to be? Dash coaches uncover what you don't see so you can achieve that effectiveness. They empower people and organizations to optimize their dash. Get your free Dash coaching session today. Call 516-677-9111 or visit dashlive.com.
Are you a busy event planner, an auction chair, or development coordinator? Well, auctionhelp.com is designed for you. Find out why hundreds of nonprofit organizations just like yours have chosen auctionhelp.com to take the stress out of the benefit auction process. Hi, I'm Russ Dalnack, professional auctioneer, and I'm also someone who can help you coordinate your next auction. That's right, we have a special staff of auction management experts to give you that auctioneer to get the right person behind the microphone that'll encourage your guests to be generous. We can also meet with your auction committee throughout the whole planning process. We're going to give you helpful hints that could add as much as 25% to next year's totals. We're going to train and monitor your auction volunteers the night of the event. We're going to help you run your auction, including the registration, the data entry, the filing, the cashiering, the recording, where to get those valuable items, how to develop your audience, and all those things. Log on, auctionhelp.com. We're here to help with your next auction.
How do you like your coffee? Not all coffee is the same. Kona coffee beans from Hawaii are some of the best anywhere, but not all Kona coffee is the same. Aloha Island Coffee, handcrafted like fine wine, is a family-owned private Kona plantation. They've created the finest boutique coffee you'll ever drink. Aloha Island Coffee, rare, very special, naturally low in acid and pesticide-free. Click on the banner on the Chef Larry Show page, AlohaIslandCoffee.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Hello, this is Jason Murchie, back with you now, continuing the show on participatory economics. I'm speaking with David Callahan, the research director and senior fellow at DEMOS. I mentioned before that the purpose is to help build a society where America can develop its highest democratic ideals. He's the author of 6 books, including The Cheating Culture, Why Americans Are Doing Wrong to Get Ahead. This critically acclaimed book looks at ethics in America in an era of rising inequality, growing bottom-line pressures, and changing values. There's more about David that you can read right here on the website. You know, I was speaking to a class at a university yesterday, a business class, and they said, "Do you have a book that you'd like to recommend about business ethics?" And the first one that popped into my head was The Cheating Culture, because it's easy to read. And the thesis is really important, I think. That is that something about America is worth looking at, this thing about cheating. Why is it that you know, we have the system that we do, and why is it that it seems so dysfunctional? And that has a lot to do with the system, in quotes, the way that capitalism pushes people to do the wrong thing because it's so cutthroat. Some people are faced with this tough decision, you know, do I do what everybody else is doing here in the company to get ahead, or am I actually going to try to stand on my own and keep my honor and be honest and this type of thing? So many times the culture is so strong that people just, they sort of, their values deteriorate a little bit, and they pick up a new value set, and they justify it in some way. You know, Stanley Milgram, who did the experiments with folks in regard to obedience to authority, noted that it's the extreme willingness of adults to go to any length on the command of an authority. And so I think when you have the system such that cheating is okay in a way, or let's say it's sanctioned because that's how you get ahead, that's how you make a buck, well then it's really difficult for people to buck that system. That's the thing that movies are made of. You know, Aaron Brockovich and North Country and many movies have to do with a person saying, you know, the culture is not okay. You know, I don't want to be sexually harassed. I don't want to be manipulated, so on and so forth. Not everybody has that type of strength. Anyway, that's my latest thought about The Cheating Culture. It's an interesting book. Well, now I'd like to welcome David. Hello, David.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. Well, let's talk today about participatory economics, if we could. What is capitalism about that doesn't seem right to you?
Well, you know, capitalism is a dynamic system, creates a tremendous amount of wealth. In America, it's the goose that lays the golden egg. But the problem is that it has certain moral downsides, which should be pretty obvious. You know, the competition that makes capitalism go, the efficiency that capitalism strives for, that focus on the bottom line, the ambition that it unleashes. You know, these are all powerful and positive things that can also turn into very negative things. I mean, it's easy enough for competition to turn into cutthroat behavior. It's easy enough for ambition to turn into greed. It's easy for a focus on efficiency to turn into an unforgiving bottom line that brings out the worst in people. So capitalism is a system that we really have to we have to control, as opposed to it controlling us. And what I'm concerned about is right now with globalization, there is nobody in charge, or at least nobody who's willing to be in charge. And so American society is increasingly shaped by these powerful economic forces that we're not necessarily in charge of. And I think that goes against the basic idea of democracy, which is that, you know, it's the citizens of a country that get to make decisions about priorities and what the country's going to look like and how the society's values are going to be translated into daily life and public policy, and we're not doing that right now because we're not in charge.
Okay. What about the idea that somebody might say, you know, when you can grow an economy of a region, like, for example, if a big multinational corporation, you know, arrives in Indonesia and sets up shop, that's going to be good for the people because now they have a job that they can do that's not prostitution, or
right.
What do you say to that?
Well, I think it often is good for people. I mean, if you look at the countries that have been the recipients of the most amount of foreign direct investment, the countries that have participated most in the global economic system and in the drive towards globalization, those countries have made phenomenal strides in the past couple decades. You know, the look at a place like South Korea or a place like Singapore or Taiwan. These were countries that, you know, 30 years ago were the places where all the sweatshops were, and now they have thriving middle classes and a very high standard of living. And, you know, there's no question in my mind that globalization has been a positive force in many people's lives. Just look at what's happening in India and China right now. As those two nations become more integrated into the global economic system, we are seeing one of the greatest leaps forward in terms of rising standards of living in any period of history ever. I mean, hundreds of millions of people in the last decade alone have been elevated out of absolute poverty to middle class status in those countries. It's a phenomenal thing. But again, it is a dual-edged sword. You know, that we have these forces that are transforming society for the better, but also challenging our values in some pretty scary ways, and introducing some pretty poisonous dynamics into our society. You know, all the greed, the corporate crime, the consumerism, the popular decline of popular culture, and all the kind of junk on television, and the kind of come on appeals of advertising that are everywhere. This is not a system that we are controlling, and it is shaping our values in ways that nobody thinks is good, but we don't seem to do anything about it.
Okay. Well, then, what would you say this idea of participatory economics is about? I mean, if it's true that the current system has a gross inequity to it, then what do you think some of the options are?
Well, let me just say one more thing about the current form of capitalism, which is that in theory, capitalism is a system which allows anybody to enter, start a business, make money, and develop an independent life. That's one of the great appeals of capitalism, is that it allows people to develop economic well-being outside of the controlling oversight of either the state or the church, which were two major institutions that pretty much controlled life before we had a vibrant market economy. And so I think that, you know, capitalism is very important for freedom in that it provides that kind of opportunity for people. But the problem is that the current form of capitalism is so geared toward big business. You know, you have major corporations that have a huge amount of power to dominate the political system, to create a regulatory framework and a tax framework that very much benefits the people at the top. And the small entrepreneur, the independent business owner, has a hard time getting in and developing ownership, you know, owning assets and developing a business. And that's something that, you know, that's a major challenge. And I think it goes to the heart of the question of participatory economics, because I think that if we did challenge the power of big business in this country more effectively, we would find ways to give individuals more opportunities to start businesses. So, for example, you look at something like the Small Business Administration, which has historically helped businesses, people start small businesses. This is an agency that's seen its budget cut under the Bush administration, even as they do nothing to challenge a lot of the big corporate welfare giveaways. You look at the tax breaks that corporations get in given states to, you know, locate jobs there. You know, you hear all the time about Georgia or something giving a bunch of tax breaks to Mercedes to have them build an auto plant there. But there's no accountability of those of those tax breaks. So the taxpayers are basically giving millions of dollars to a corporation to come to a state, but nobody is following up to really hold the corporation accountable for creating jobs. And again, these are jobs in corporations, you know, working at a factory or something, as opposed to fostering small businesses and helping individuals who want to be entrepreneurs.
You know, we have to go to break in 2 minutes, and it's going to take 2 minutes, but so maybe I should ask you to delay the answer to the question of, you know, what can we do now and what's the future going to look like, and spend a little more time going further into the way that capitalism causes some to suffer. Let me share a quote by Howard Zinn. He said, "I've always resented the smug statements of politicians, media commentators, and corporate executives who talked of how in America, if you worked hard, you would become rich. The meaning of that was, if you were poor, it was because you hadn't worked hard enough. I knew that was a lie about my father and about millions of others, men and women who worked harder than anyone. Is it true that there's something about this system where the degree to which you work hard is not necessarily connected to how you were rewarded?"
Well, I think there is, I think that the link between work and reward is increasingly fraying, and that you see with all this outsourcing and downsizing that people have less job security. Increasingly, the jobs being created in the United States also are low-income service sector jobs, and there's many people who are working full-time living in poverty, and many people who are working full-time and have a nice middle-class lifestyle but have no confidence that they can hold on to that lifestyle.
Yeah, and you're saying that is somewhat out of control at this time. You're saying that the way that government and the leaders of business have the system set up, that nobody's sort of manning the controls at this time.
Right, and that the people who have been in positions of political leadership in this country have been quite happy to go along with large corporations in terms of what they want from public policy. So if you look at the minimum wage, for example, you know, if you work full-time in America, you shouldn't live in poverty. And yet the minimum wage is so low in this country that many people who do work full-time live in poverty. And why is that? It's because the powers that be don't want to raise the minimum wage.
Mm. Well, we probably should go to commercial now, so stick with me for a couple minutes. And also to the listener, I say please stick with us, and we'll continue where we left off, looking at what's the future hold, how should we proceed optimistically and willfully so that we can make things better than they currently are for most of us. Stay tuned to Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom on World Talk Radio.